I declare the meeting open at 5:30 PM. May I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I request that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Business Council, the Council Business Team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 10 reports from management, 7 of which are confidential, and 5 items of general business, 1 of which is confidential. No apologies have been received. Before we begin, may I congratulate the Deputy Lord Mayor. The Deputy Lord Mayor received a Councillor Service Award for 10 years of service. The award was presented to the Deputy Lord Mayor at the MAV annual dinner, which was on Thursday, the 22nd of October, 2015. Hearty congratulations, Deputy Lord Mayor. And following that lukewarm round of applause, may I say if any councillor has a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. May I ask a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 40 held on Tuesday 29th of September 2015. Thank you, Councillor Wood. Seconded, Deputy Lord Mayor. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. Any matters arising from this, that council meeting? In that case, as at 3 PM today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the council's conduct of meetings local law 2010. Agenda item 7.2, a notice of motion from Councillor Leppett on equal marriage. A minimal number of 225 submissions were received in a thump on my desk this afternoon. Agenda item 7.4, notion of motice from Councillor Wood, City of Melbourne Clean Energy, from Michael Pulsford, James Clark, Isabella Morand, Cara Stewart, Anthony Holdway, Karen Large, John Knox and Grace Fitzgerald. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of agenda items 6.4, 6.5 or 7.5? In that case, there are no reports from committee for consideration. There are 3 reports from management for consideration. The first is records of council, of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, can I call on the council to move this motion? Councillor Wood, is that seconded? Councillor Ong will put that motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the annual report 2014-15. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this motion? And I'm happy to move the motion. Is there a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Leppett. This has been the subject of long consultation. May I just say, though, the graphic presentation of this year's annual report, I think, is a real highlight. The additional items that are in there, which is just more information for transparency, is in there as well. I think it's more readable than any annual report we've presented. And I think it also puts the public, the things they're interested in, to say what we're doing, what they thought, and what the gap is. And that is immediately apparent through that graphic representation throughout the annual report. So I'm happy to move it. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I just second what you've just said and also acknowledge that the quality has improved yet again this year and thank the staff for what is an enormous amount of time that goes into these things. Just to report back on the few copies of the annual report that I've sent out into the community, as we were prompted to do by the staff, when I'm highlighting certain things that have happened in the year previous, I've already had quite a few comments returned saying that this is above and beyond what we've seen before. So congratulations to everyone involved.
Is there a further contribution to debate? Councillor Mann.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I think Juan Antonio Samaranch would definitely agree this is the best ever City of Melbourne annual report. I'd like to also thank the officers for Better than Sydney, yes. I'd like to thank the officers for their excellent work. It's an interesting process where it goes out on the website to the Minister and then back before it comes formally to the Council. So it's an unusual process which I suspect might get amended with the review of the Local Government Act. But what we finished up with is a good document. Good to see the CFO getting his own little place in the sun now. Finances are very important and front and centre, which is good to see. And we haven't tried to hide stuff either. I mean, in my area of trying to have less confidentiality, we've put in there that our number of confidential items is actually up from 85 to 115 over the last year. So that's
we have you to thank for that, Councillor Mayne.
Yes, well, possibly. But that's not just always picking the graphs that are going the right way type of approach. That is actually putting the meaningful data in there, relevant and aligned to the goals that we set ourselves, and then we can discuss why that data is and still assert that we are Australia's most open and transparent council in spite of that increase of 30 confidential items last year. So good to see some extra data on the gender diversity of our workforce. It's also another good reform in this year, and all up a good document, and I just hope we do print a few, send them out and maximise the readership, because a huge amount of effort goes into producing what is an excellent document.
Thank you. Is there a further contribution or debate? In that case, just in closing, I made light of Councillor Mayne's comment. I didn't mean to. There is a difference between secretive and confidential, and in a business of our size, then there will be confidential issues to discuss, and we need to do that. But it should be noted, we also make more confidential items public immediately after our decision-making than any other council. So I want to thank Councillor Mayne for his transparency agenda. He's run that very hard and very successfully, and I think to the great betterment of our council. In that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the Regent Management Company trading results for 30th of June. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on the council to move this motion? Councillor Mayne?
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move an amended motion which now appears on the screen.
Could I ask councillors to consider that motion? Councillor Mayne, you're moving that motion. Is there a seconder for this motion? I'm happy to second the motion. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So rather than just noting the reports and the accounts for the year-end financials, which was a good year for our management company that looks after the ownership of 50% stake that we have in the Regent Theatre across the road, we've added two extra points there. The first is confirming our board nominees. So we haven't really had that process of a council approval, so this is not formal council approval, but it's just noting that we will support the CEO continuing to be the prime nominee on the board for us, with Greg Stevens as the council nominated alternate. And the third one is that with more than $2 million in cash accumulated, that we've authorising or requesting the CEO in his role as a director, serving with Mark Turnbull, who's the state's nominated director on what is a 50-50 joint venture company, that we're asking the CEO in his role as a director to pursue reasons as to whether the entity could distribute some of its cash back to its shareholders. And the reason for that is that at the moment we're not consolidating the Regent Theatre Management Company because we don't control it, and so our share of the $2 million in cash is not appearing on our balance sheet. So best practice is to try and get make any assets that we own more visible in a consolidated point of view. And we don't have cash piles associated with any other buildings. So it's actually, to have cash sitting there ready for one day investing in the building is not actually, we don't have a similar fund for Town Hall or CH2 or any other building. So it would accord with our practices of keeping all cash centrally and allocating capital works when you decide to do it, not having a sinking fund. So we've asked before and had no joy with the state, and we're requesting the new CEO, new to the board, to have another crack and see if we can have more joy in the current financial year and maybe get a $1 million bonus come into the budget at some point if it all goes well.
I concur. Is there any further contribution to the debate? Mover wish to conclude? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. We now move to general business. because they are the reports from management to be considered in open session. There are four items of general business. The first is proposed travel by the Lord Mayor, that's me, to APEC in the 2015 CEO Summit. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call the councillor and move it? Councillor Wood, seconded Councillor Pinder-Mortimer. Councillor Wood.
Happy to move this, Lord Mayor. It's always good to see all travel and indeed all costs being covered by the organisers of APEC as well, but certainly to be invited to play a significant role in this APEC summit to represent the city, to represent the city voice is going to be a fantastic opportunity, and I think it's just one of the many opportunities that are provided through the Lord Mayor's networks, and I look forward to the representation that he'll make there.
Thank you. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer.
Lord Mayor, just to say that I think you're very well placed to speak on what will the future of the city look like, and I commend this recommendation as well.
Further contribution or debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Item 7.2 is notice of motion from Councillor Leppert on equal marriage. Could I call on Councillor Leppert either to move the motion or make a brief presentation?
I'll move the motion in the terms they appear on the screen.
Is that seconded? I'm happy to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppert.
And thank you, Lord Mayor, for seconding it. There are 228 submissions on this agenda item at my account. There are a few more late ones since the 225 that came in bulk earlier. And again, by my account, 228 submissions are in favour and none of them are against. That's a pretty remarkable score of 100%, and I think that's a fantastic place to start this debate. So I had a really good afternoon reading a whole lot of those submissions. It was a pretty delightful experience, given that none of them were against. And there's just one picked at random here from one of our local residents in Carlton, Adam, which concludes, "It is a core role of local government to foster social inclusion, and marriage equality is key to the inclusion of LGBTI people." So this has been the theme throughout all of the submissions, including those from the three organisations that wrote to us, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Australian Marriage Equality and Moira Disability and Youth Services. I can see the VGLRL co-convener, Sean Mulcahy, in the gallery, and he, of course, does a remarkable job for the lobby along with his co-convener, Anna Brown. The VGLRL remind us that the absolutely overwhelming support across Australia for marriage equality is already proven. And they remind us too that the status quo, the Marriage Act in its current form, amounts to government-sanctioned discrimination. That submission will be public on the website in the morning. Australian Marriage Equality's Victorian Director Tim Peppard may also be here. I'm not sure if he was on this side. I can't see him on that side. And I would like to acknowledge his advocacy on this issue for a very, very long time, as well, of course, as the National Director, Rodney Croom, and AME's army of volunteers, including at arm's length Councillor Jan Farrell from Geelong, who's also in the gallery, and she has played a major supporting role in Victoria as council after council has signed up to this campaign. We've been beaten, comrades, by Bullock and Strathbogie, I'm sorry to report. And two, can I acknowledge Warwick Kavanagh, the CEO of Moira Disability and Youth Services, who reminds us that equal marriage rights are not necessarily about marriage at all. They are about removing discrimination which is active and overt in Australian law. He writes that Moira knows through its engagement with young people that they struggle to understand how our government can promote anti-discrimination legislation whilst at the same time actively discriminate against them. And that's what brought me to move this motion, certainly. I am absolutely no fan of marriage, and my friends and my colleagues are probably very well aware of that. Let's say it's the old school feminist in me. It's more than a little hostile to this institution and its long history of fostering gender inequality, but I'm going to leave that comment there. So this isn't about me at all. I'm not here to represent myself, nor are any of us for that matter. We're here to represent all Melburnians, and that can only mean that we must uphold the principle of equality before the law for everybody. The City of Melbourne's got a lot of history on this. We were the first to introduce a relationships register quite a long time ago now, and that was a trailblazer for what it was. And in fact, it's still going strong. I think it serves a pretty much a different primary purpose now, which is providing international students with proof of relationships, more so than same-sex couples. But back in the day, that was a trailblazing thing that the City of Melbourne did, and I'm really proud to be a member of the council that did that so long ago. We're also the biggest funders of Midsummer and MQFF. For whatever reason, the state government doesn't particularly want to do that, and we're left doing that. And so we are the biggest government supporters of these really important community-building organisations. And of course, our current Lord Mayor is a champion for all matters LGBTI and equal marriage, and I think he was one of the first leaders on the Conservative side of politics, if not the first, to come out in favour of this debate. So we acknowledge his advocacy on this issue for a long time. So back to marriage. I think we're at a critical time in the national debate on this issue, and I am convinced that the federal government is on the verge of accepting this debate to be inevitable. This reform to be inevitable. So the more our MPs in Canberra can see the strong support for the principle of equality before the law, the closer we're going to get to achieving it. And that's why I brought the motion before us today, and I think that's why we should all be joining together and sending a message from Melbourne to the Prime Minister to just get this done.
Thank you, Councillor. I appreciate your characterisation of me from the Conservative side of politics. I always like to think of myself from the Liberal side of politics, given that's the name of my party. And I am proud that I was the first Conservative, I suppose, senior person in Australia to advocate for marriage equality on the front page of The Age. Despite your, you know, misgivings, marriage is an honourable institution. I can promise you that. I can recommend it to you. But I think, if I may say, in support of this motion, and I very rarely bring my family into public life. That is always a difficult thing to do. But in this instance, I'm going to bring my wife into the debate. The Lady Mayoress is a strong campaigner for marriage equality, has been throughout her entire life and political career. She's had a very powerful effect on me, not as it were to change my mind, but to help me understand many of the difficult issues that are, you know, subtle, if I may say, and she's very much helped me in that. I want to pay great tribute to her. I am delighted to add my support to this. I think this will come about. I think what we're doing is adding weight to the argument. The methodology may well be argued, and that's well and good. But as Councillor Levitt and I often say, it's about outcomes. It's about outcomes, and that's what we're seeking here. And this would be a very welcome outcome. And I thank you for bringing this motion before Council. Is there a further contributor to debate? Councillor Oak.
I don't need to add too much. I think both of you have spoken very well and I think represented what I believe the City of Melbourne really does stand for and why this motion should be supported tonight. The one thing I wanted to say is that it's just frustrating that we actually have to put this motion up in the first place. 1.1 really to me is about stating the bleeding obvious, but we know it's not the obvious, it's not the reality at all. And in terms of, I know that I wince every time I'm at a wedding, you know, hearing the words that marriage is between a man and a woman. I hate it. And I hate that my friends get married, who can get married, under Australian law, get married with those words in their ceremony, and I know that they hate it too. So I look forward to the time as soon as possible, not even just as soon as practicable, but as soon as possible that this is changed so I can actually enjoy marriages or weddings again, because I, like Rohan, actually don't like going for that particular reason. So I look forward to change soon.
Further contributor to debate? Councillor Mayne.
I'd like to thank Councillor Leppard for bringing this motion, for his very considered words in introducing the motion. I'm a very strong supporter of this issue. I haven't invested the time and the understanding as other speakers have, but for me it's just an absolute no-brainer. Let love prosper. Who's the government to stand in the way? Treat everyone equally before the law. And, you know, it's embarrassing that so many other countries have moved on this before we have. I was embarrassed at the MAV in the last year when it was voted down by a majority of largely conservative rural councils. I think it's good that we're on the record with this strong position, and I hope it won't take more than another 12, 15 months maximum before Australia has finally put this issue to bed and done the right thing.
Further contribution? Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd also like to add my thanks to Councillor Leppard for bringing this motion. It is important, and it's wonderful, notwithstanding Councillor Oakes' comments, it's wonderful that we do have the opportunity to discuss this so openly, but I do agree as well. It's a shame in some respects that that we do have to have this debate. Notwithstanding Councillor Leppard's comments about marriage, I'd just like to make the point that some people like marriage so much they do it more than once, Councillor Leppard. But I thought you might agree with that one, Lord Mayor.
Yeah.
And I do agree also, though, that with his comments, that with the weight of public opinion now running at well over 60% in favour of marriage equality, there is now more reason than ever before to believe that the federal government may indeed act positively on this issue. I certainly hope that they do. As the previous Labor government did, making amendments to legislation such as the Superannuation Act and other relevant pieces of legislation to bring at least some greater sense of equality towards those in the LGBTI community, I can't help but to say it is such a shame, however, that they didn't act just a little bit more decisively.
Any further contribution? Councillor Wrong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just thought I first of all commend Councillor Leppard for bringing this and listening to my fellow councillors. I come from a slightly different angle, being brought up initially in an Asian country, Malaysia. This whole matter is one of those things that you never talk about. Now, after 30-odd years living here in Melbourne, in Australia, looking at the environment that we're in, we are an international city, and now we talk about Australia in the Asian century. I think this is very important. The outcomes we want to achieve here, and it's also the message that we want to put out there. The City of Melbourne, a global player in this region, is progressive enough to do this. And hopefully Australia will be progressive enough to do this. Because I can tell you the rest of the region, and I visit it regularly with families and all, this is something they just don't talk about. And I think it's very important to bring it out into the open, and then we support something that's progressive and make a change, and some of our neighbours might get on board on this.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Watts.
Just briefly, I commend Councillor Leppard for putting this motion before us. It seems to me we have an obligation in a city the size of Melbourne, with the influence that I do believe we carry, to speak out, and this is a form of carrying our views forward, and let's hope it has an impact sooner rather than later.
Thank you. Any further contributions? Councillor Wood.
I'm very happy to support Councillor Leppard's motion. I think, you know, when you talk about the leadership role that the City of Melbourne plays in so many important issues, that this is another issue of such magnitude where I'm very proud to be part of the City of Melbourne and support this motion. And I think I echo other councillors and the Lord Mayor, and let's just get this done. Why are we still talking about it?
Thank you. To conclude, Councillor Leppard, in that case, I will put the motion. All those in favour? That seems to be unanimous. Thank you. Well done. That was inappropriate. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Item 7.3 is a notice motion from Councillor Mayne, copyright licensing. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on Councillor Mayne to move the motion standing in his name?
So move, Lord Mayor.
Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Leppard. Councillor Mayne.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This motion seeks to authorise management to take out a general copyright licence for the City of Melbourne, which covers all staff, with the Copyright Agency Limited, which is the peak body for the collecting agency for authors, publishers, content creators in Australia. It's an unusual quirk that 100% of state governments and their agencies and all of the federal government are signed up licence holders with Copyright Agency Limited, yet less than 5% of councils are in Australia, even though all of us councils are 100% creations of the state governments, which are 100% covered. So it's an unusual gap in compliance. If you look at the UK, I think it's more than 70% of UK councils are licensed for a general copyright permission with the equivalent peak body in the UK. If you consider the fact that Australian schools, both public and private, pay $60 million a year to the Copyright Agency Limited at $9 per student, yet the entire local government sector at the moment is only contributing about $150,000. So Melbourne has about 25 councils out of 560 nationally which are currently licensed. It's a bit of a push on from Cal at the moment. I engaged with them and found, well, they sought me out and I found their arguments persuasive. I've discussed it with the officers, discussed it with the colleagues and think that it is appropriate to, by motion, to take out a licence. The estimates are it'll cost us around about $30,000 a year. This is different from, you know, I'm aware of one big bank that's paying over $250,000 a year to Cal. I'm aware of other big banks that are paying nothing. So it's an issue which is still not out there in the corporate sector and the council sector. They are the two areas where compliance is the lowest. So I think doing this in a visible way is good practice. It's good governance. What it will allow us to do, and this is an interesting question for us, is that my view, we get sort of probably the most comprehensive and at the moment the most positive media of any council in Australia. We get enormous coverage. Sometimes we get more coverage than the state government. Yet if we are to go to a conference and put up on a slide at a conference an image of a newspaper article about the City of Melbourne, we're doing that, we're in breach. We haven't got a licence to do that. So what taking this licence would do is allow us to actually openly talk about the media that we get. So we've commissioned, for instance, councillors, an end-of-year media report on how our division's going and what sort of coverage we're getting. We can now have that come to council with pictures and images of press reports in that report by taking this licence. And if we didn't take this licence, you could technically argue we would be in breach if we did produce a report. So I'm not suggesting we have been in breach, that we have been going around doing these things, but I think on balance, we aim to be a well-governed council, and I think the prudent decision to do here is to, having been approached by Cal, is to consider the issue and to proactively take out a licence. At $30,000 a year, it's not going to send us broke, but I think it is good practice, and I think it's a good demonstration to other local governments around Australia that they should join with the small minority who've done this and actually join with the state and federal government sector and agree with the principle that most big institutions should take out a general copyright licence which can give some payment, albeit modest, to the wonderful authors and creators and publishers out there who produce creative content which we read and sometimes reproduce and use.
Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I thank Councillor Mann for bringing this before us? And he's outlined how this will be working in practice and the imperative for councils to do the right thing and join this campaign, if I can put it that way. I think there is a little bit of a push on at the moment, as Councillor Mann has said. My understanding of the outcome of this, should it be agreed to tonight, and I believe it will, is that it's not going to be hugely consequential to the work of the City of Melbourne. Many of our work areas do the right thing all the time already. Councillor Mayne cited a few examples where we could seek to improve, but it's not going to completely reform the way the City of Melbourne functions, or certainly no one's been able to demonstrate to me that we're looking at hugely onerous administrative burdens as a result of this. So I don't think that it's going to be greatly consequential, but we are a city of literature, and I think we need to absolutely be setting the trend here and doing the right thing and being seen to do the right thing. The principles behind joining this are just self-explanatory, I think, and I think that were we to be considering this and not pursuing it, that would send all sorts of wrong messages to all of the other players out there. So I think the principle is first and foremost the right thing to pursue, and I thank Councillor Mayne for bringing it before us.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Watts.
I'm very pleased that this is before us. It seems to me something that has passed by us until now, and this is difficult to imagine. We are a city of literature and we are a knowledge city, and scientific, literary and artistic production happens here, and it is a matter of principle that we proceed with this motion, that we become fully licensed in what we do as an example for other councils. I understand that the push is on, to quote my colleagues. It's a pity that the push is necessary, but let's be part of it.
Further contribution to debate? The mover wish to conclude? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 7.4 is notice of motion from Councillor Wood, the City of Melbourne Clean Energy Investments. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, I call on Councillor Wood to move the motion standing in his name.
I'm happy to move the motion on screen, Lord Mayor. Just see at 1.5 there, a slight amendment to that which was originally submitted in blue.
Thank you.
But happy to move that.
Is there a seconder for this motion, Councillor Rowe? Thank you, Councillor Wood.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Well, we know the reason for climate action, whether it's the Pakistani or Indian heatwaves where we lost over 2,000 lives, whether it's the fact that we're predicting that the Persian Gulf countries will go to averages of 70 degrees in terms of temperature. We know all the sorts of reasons. City of Melbourne has been a carbon neutral organisation for the last few years, and indeed our targets are very, very ambitious. But what we know too is that we're only 1% of the emissions of the city. So if we don't work with our other stakeholders, if we don't work with our businesses, with our industry, with all of the sort of sectors that we've got to see, including the finance sector, that we're not going to see the sort of change that we need to see. So what this motion is all about, it's effectively three different points there. And 1.3 is looking at maintaining that, not investing in fossil fuel aligned companies or fossil fuels, which we don't already anyway. 1.4 looks at our super investment. We're talking about $55 million in super investment, so not a small number in any way, shape or form. And then 1.5 looks at our banking services, so our transactional banking services, our financial facilities, including lending as well. So I'm very proud to put this motion where we make the moves to maintain our lack of investment in fossil fuel, but also to then start to put some supply chain pressure on our super provider, but also then and transactional and financial facilities as well. So many councils around the world are leading this charge. Just today we had one of our first unions go the same way. This is another area that's gathering pace and I think is long overdue. This is by no means going to change the world. That's not what this motion is about. I guess this motion also is not a political statement for me. This motion is actually an honesty in the fact that we have a zero net emissions target, and to achieve that target, we're going to have to work with all sectors of the city. So this is actually about being honest that we've set a target. We're getting our own backyard in order with renewable energy investment, with the 1200 buildings program. We're highly awarded. Our own Lord Mayor has signed on to the Compact of Lord Mayors. In fact, one of the first cities to sign on. So I think this is another important step, and I hope that fellow councillors will see fit in that to support this motion.
Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Wood, for bringing the motion forward, and also thank you to our Chief Financial Officer, Fu, for working through the various divestment policies out there by other municipalities, other levels of government, other organisations and other businesses to come up with a motion that is not only suitable to the circumstances of the City of Melbourne, but it's also one that's going to have meaningful effect. The actions that are listed here in the motion will result in real outcomes. It might not. Well, I can't remember what the term that you use, Councillor Wood, but it will actually have real outcomes. This motion. So we shouldn't underestimate the effect of support for this resolution. It does note, as Councillor Wood says, that we don't currently invest in fossil fuel. Or have investments that are investing in fossil fuels, but we didn't have a policy to stop us doing that in the future. So 1.3 is important that we are on record saying that it is actually a policy that's reflective of our zero net emissions policy. But it does, it does also go into areas where we do have financial investments or investment financial interests, such as in superannuation or in everyday banking, transactional banking. And 1.4 and 1.5 puts forward, I think, a very fair and transparent way of addressing that as a council, again, leading in a zero net emission way. So I think 1.4 and 1.5 are our way of doing something more than just stating the obvious or doing something that we're already doing and not investing in fossil fuels. So I think that it's a great motion in that respect. I just wanted to say, and not going on any further and not going on to the, the reasons why it's so important that we have a policy such as this at the City of Melbourne. I wanted to actually mention one of our submitters, Grace Fitzgerald, I think is her surname. I know that Aaron and I met with Grace in the development of this motion, and I thought the thing that I wanted to reflect on in her making a submission is, and then the fact that she's been involved with the City of Melbourne before through our EcoCity Youth Forum a while ago, and she's been advocating, I think, for all of her young life. She's a medical student here in the City of Melbourne, and she's been advocating for a better world, a sustainable world for many, many years. And too often young people aren't at the table when leaders are making decisions. And tonight we're making a decision that actually will impact her generation and the generation before hers. And I think it's important that we take that into consideration when we do make decisions such as this, that this isn't about us, this is about the future, and this is about people such as Grace and the people after her. So I think it's really important that we take a stand, and I'd like to acknowledge her work as well as Aaron's in putting it forward.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Mayne.
I'd like to thank Councillor Wood. I think he's worked very well with CFO Fu in coming up with a very measured, sensible way to make a very strong statement without the sky falling in or doing something which could be portrayed as being rash or too blunt or too expensive to council. So I think it was a couple of years ago I put up a motion lamenting Rio Tinto getting rid of 300 jobs in Melbourne and calling for them to move their headquarters from London to Melbourne. As one of the world's biggest coal companies. So I'm not sure how that motion would go if we did that again.
Headquarters.
Yeah, headquarters. So the debate has moved on, and I think this is a good sign of Melbourne moving with that debate. Our relationship with Vision Super is interesting. We don't have a lot of control or influence. We can't really roll out of there. We're sort of bound to them, courtesy of some Kennett-era legislation. The ASU has 4 board seats and has had the chairmanship for some of the recent years. We are represented through 2 directors from the MAV, peak body, which we're a member of and sometimes we haven't been. Vision Super has been nowhere near as progressive as their New South Wales counterparts, which have probably been the most progressive super fund in Australia on things like screening and disclosure of voting and just taking some strong positions on these sort of general issues. And that's, I think, been driven by their management rather than their council law or council members. But I think this is a good sign to Vision Super. I think they did need a little bit of a poke to get with the program on some of these things. And I think there are still quite a few politicians out there and people in power who haven't got with this program. I did bump into Peter Costello last week outside Crown Casino, and I said to him, why hasn't the Future Fund signed up to the United Nations Principle for Responsible Investment when the Japanese Sovereign Fund did just 2 weeks ago? Now, I won't repeat what he said because it's a private conversation, but for the record, the Future Fund is not a signatory to the UNPRI, along with some other oil state sovereign funds and a few others who, frankly, I don't think as our sovereign fund we should be in the same camp with. We should be like the vast majority and signing up for that. So this is a campaign that needs to push. There are still people resisting. And as to how this affects us, I mean, it is interesting that we have taken out a $70 million loan facility with ANZ last year to help us finance the Munro purchase, and ANZ is the largest financier of fossil fuel and greenhouse emitting projects in Australia. This was a debate we had at last year's AGM. I'm not saying that we wouldn't have a contract with ANZ, but next time this tender goes, there'll be a questionnaire where ANZ will need to put this information on the table. And this will be relevant information that can be taken into consideration. They're not being banned, but it is part of the debate, and it's good that it's being part of the debate. And I think this is that's an example of where this motion will have real impact in causing some conversations in high places, which is what you need to have to get progress on an issue like this.
Further contribution to the debate? Does the mover wish to close the debate?
Yes, please, Lord Mayor, just very, very, very briefly. I agree with, and I thank my fellow councillors for their input. Interestingly enough, with ANZ, they are one of the biggest funders of fossil fuel, but they're also one of the biggest funders of renewable energy. So they are also hedging their bets, and they're seeing that the move is well and truly on. And I think that what I was very careful with in this motion, I too want to thank Foo for his input, and also thank Grace and John and some of those that are in the gallery up here for providing us with some really sound guidance that this is about signalling that transition. And I think that that's a much more balanced way to head. But that this will have an impact, that yes, it just reaffirms a policy which has been by default, but it makes it explicit. But it then does tackle our superannuation, it tackles our transactional banking, and I think it'll send the right sort of signal that the world's most livable city is moving in line with the rest of the leading cities around the world.
I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Are there any motions that are proposed for urgent business? In that case, could I call on the Council to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items of confidential business? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, that is carried unanimously. Can I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:12 p.m.